विष्णुप्रदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द सेवेंथ चैप्टर ऑफ श्रीमद भगवद्गीता। The chapter is titled as Knowledge of the Absolute or Vijnana Yoga. So, if you remember, in the first six chapters, Krishna speaks primarily about Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, where Bhakti is secondary. Sorry, he talks about Guni Bhuta Bhakti, where Bhakti is Gauna or secondary, and Karma Jnana Yoga are primary. Okay. So, second chapter was primarily a description of generic Sankhya, a difference between body and soul. And then he described about the practice of karma, jnana, etc. were described in brief. And then from third chapter, he described karma yoga. He introduced sakama karma and then nishkama karma yoga. And he showed how material attachment in the form of lust or lust in the form of material attachment is a main obstacle to practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga. And the fourth chapter, he described about how Nishkama Karma Yoga is actually practiced and how eventually Nishkama Karma Yoga evolves into Jnana that he described. And then in the fifth chapter, he described about Jnana Yoga, the two types of Jnana Yoga, which is Karma Sannyas and Grihastha Sannyas. Okay, Karma Sannyas and Grihastha Sannyas. And then towards the end of fifth chapter, he introduced another means of attaining liberation apart from Jnana Yoga, which is Ashtanga Yoga. And in the sixth chapter, he describes about Ashtanga Yoga to attain liberation. And towards the end of the chapter, he says that this Ashtanga Yoga is superior to Karma Jnana, Tapasya, etc. But then towards the last verse, in the last verse of sixth chapter, he introduces Bhakti Yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samaya yuktatamamata. So he describes about how a Bhakti Yogi is better than all these other types of yogis, including the Ashtanga Yogi, the various types of Ashtanga Yogis. So that verse 6.7 acted as the bridge from, you know, Guni Bhuta Bhakti to both Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti and Shuddha Bhakti. So in the middle six chapters, what is described is predominant devotional service and pure devotional service. So predominant devotional service is where devotional service is slightly mixed with either karma, jnana or yoga. And pure devotional service is where it is not mixed with karma, jnana or yoga. Okay. So, continuing with where he left off, in the beginning of seventh chapter, Krishna describes about what is this bhakti yoga. Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunadashreha. Asamshayam samagrammam yata jnasasi tachrunu. So he introduced Bhakti Yoga in the last verse of sixth chapter. In the very next verse, which is the first verse of seventh chapter, he talks about, he describes the process of Bhakti, where he says is, that process is mai asakta mana, where the mind is attached to Krishna, which means Krishna is the goal. So mai asakta mana means anyabhilashita shunyam. That's what it means. And yogam yunjan and establishing a relationship with Krishna. So attachment to Krishna is explained further by telling attachment to Krishna means attachment to Krishna as a friend, as a lover, as a master, as a son in one of the five rasas. And madasha, surrendered to Krishna alone, meaning not surrendered to the demigods and not surrendered to any other process like karma, jnana, yoga, etc. So mada shreya refers to jnana karma dhyanavritam. Maya sakta mana refers to anyabhilashita shunyam. Okay. So by this process, one completely understands Krishna. Mam gyasyasi. By this process, one understands Krishna. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Bhaktya ham ekaya grahyaha. Like that. So then, in the next verse, Krishna says, Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam vakshyami asheshataha yad gyatva neha bhuyonyat gyatavyam avashishyate. He says, I will explain to you jnana vijnana. Jnana means knowledge of Krishna's powers, and vijnana means knowledge of Krishna's sweetness. Okay. And by understanding this, nothing else remains to be understood. Nothing else remains to be known. Anyad jnatavyam na iha bhuyo avashishyate. So nothing else remains to be known once one understands the knowledge of Krishna's powers and his sweetness. Okay. So, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam apisanam kaschin mam veti tatvatah. He says, amongst thousands of men, some attain success in their endeavors. Actually, very few actually endeavor to practice any spiritual activities. And amongst those who endeavor to practice in spiritual activities, very few actually attain success in their endeavors. Amongst those who attain success, hardly anyone knows me, because hardly anyone endeavors to practice pure devotional service. And if you don't practice pure devotional service, one cannot understand Krishna. Right? So, that is what he says. Knowledge of me and realization of me are rare for the jnanis and yogis who were described in the previous six chapters. So, like that. And then, he says that knowledge of Krishna starts with knowledge of Krishna's powers. So, he talks about Krishna's material energies or energies. Because knowledge, power means energy. So if someone is energetic, then he has to possess energy. So what are the energies of Krishna? Bhumirapo analo vayu kammano buddhirevacha ahankaraiti yamme binna prakriti rashtada. So these eight are his separated energy, which is material. Apareyam itastu anyam prakritim viddhime param shiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam darite jagat. Iyam apara. What I have described in the previous verse is apara. It is my inferior energy. Vidditu me param prakritim. But understand, O Arjuna, that I have a superior energy. Itastu anyam, which is quite different from the energy which I have already described. What is this energy? Jiva bhutam. It is the jivas. Yaya idam dharyate jagat. Who employ the material energy for their own enjoyment. Jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. So then he continues, yetad yonini bhutani mastani tyupadaraya aham krishnasya jagatah prabhava pralayastha. He says, upadaraya, understand, O Arjuna, that sarvani bhutani, whatever you see in this universe, yetad yonini iti, have their origin in either this inferior energy or the superior energy of mind. They have their source in either Maya Shakti or Bahiranga Shakti or Tatastha Shakti. In this material world, whatever you see is a byproduct of either Tatastha Shakti or Bahiranga Shakti or a combination of both. But aham Krishnasya jagatah prabhavah pralayah. But I am the origin and dissolution of the whole universe. How is Krishna the origin? Because the tatastha shakti, the parashakti and the aparashakti are Krishna's shakti only. So therefore, if you say, etad yonini bhutani sarvaniti upadaraya, if you say that whatever you see in this material world has its origin in these two energies, what it means is, but these two are Krishna's energies. So they ultimately have their origin in Krishna. So therefore, Krishna says, Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhavaha. I am the actual origin of everything that you see in this material world. Not only that, Pralayaha, at the time of after dissolution, they are all of these things merge into Krishna in his expansion as Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. In this context, we discussed last time that Krishna says, Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhava Pralayastata. I am the actual origin and dissolution of the whole universe. Actually, that origin and dissolution is of the whole universe is actually Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. But because Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna, therefore it is not inappropriate for Krishna to tell Aham Krishnasya Jagataha Prabhava Pralayastara. The Amshi can always claim to be performing the activities of the Amsha, whereas the Amsha cannot claim to be performing the activities of the Amshi. So by the usage of this language throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very silently and very non-explicitly, he indicates that he is actually all these other incarnations, the Purushavataras, the Gunavataras, the Leelavataras are all his Amshas, is very beautifully indicated by Krishna in a very subtle way. Here, by using Aham, Maya, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam Jagat Avyakta Murtina. So in all these things, he is indicating some of the Purushavataras. But by calling them Aham, he very clearly indicates that all these other forms are his expansions only. He is the Amshi and the others are Amshas. Right? And then he says, Mattah parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. Mayi sarvamidam protam sutre maniganayiva. So the seventh verse is another classic example of the same principle. He says, Mattaha parataram na anyat kinchidasti. There is nothing superior to me, O Dananjaya. Mayi sarvamidam protam. Everything is pervaded by me. Sutre maniganaiva. As pearls are strung on a thread. Mayi sarvamidam protam sutre maniganaiva. Everything is pervaded by me means everything is said by Krishna in his expansion of Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. So when Krishna uses the word Mayi, here it refers to Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. And in the previous verse, when Krishna says Aham, it indicates Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Because both these forms are expansions of Krishna, they are Amshas of Krishna. That is not inappropriate for Krishna to say Aham, Mayi, etc., indicating Karanodaka Sai Vishnu and Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, because they are his expansions. Okay. Mayi sarvamidam protam sutre maniganaiva. So in this 7.6 and 7.7, Krishna indicates that I am ultimately the source, the origin, the dissolution and maintenance also. So maintenance of everything in this material world is done by the Paramatma feature. Okay. Maintenance means maintaining their dharma. Sugar has to remain sugar, means sugar has to maintain its dharma of sweetness. So similarly, salt has to maintain its dharma of being salty. Water has to maintain its dharma of being liquid and all that. In order to maintain that dharma, Paramatma has to empower that element to exhibit that dharma. That is the meaning of sutre maniganaiva. Just like in a necklace, the thread which is holding the pearls is not seen. But that's what is holding the pearls together, because of which it is no longer called a collection of pearls, but it is called necklace. Similarly, it is Krishna in the form of Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, who is Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham, who existing between each and every atom, actually empowers those elements to exhibit their to exhibit their dharma. So that is what Krishna is indicating here. Mayi sarvam idam protam sutre manigana iva. By me, everything is pervaded. By me means by me in my expansion as Sri Radhaka Sahaya Vishnu. That's what it means. Right. So then further he explains that not only that, I am also the essence of everything and I am also the source of everything. Rasoham ap sukaunteya prabhasmi sashi suryayoho pranavah sarva vedeshu shabdakye paurusham drushu. So rasoham ap sukaunteya. So taste is the source of water. If you see in the elemental creation, which is described in the second canto and the third canto, we see that the source of water is taste. So rasoham apsukondeya means when Krishna says I am the taste of water, which means I am the source of water ultimately, because you know everything is his vibhuti. Prabhasmi sashishurayoho sushuryayoho. So either I am the source or I am the essence. So here if you see prabha asmi sashishurayoho, the light of sun and moon, because light is the essence of sun and moon. Pranavah sarva vedeshu shabdakke. Shabdakke, I am the sound of ether. Sound is the source of ether. Paurusham rishu, the successful efforts of men. Or Paurusha, his manliness is the essence of men. So he is the essence of men. In the same way, you know, all these subsequent verses, Punyogandha Prativyamsha Tejas Chasmi Vibhavaso Jivanam Sarvabhuteshu Tapaschasmi Tapasvishu. In all these verses, he describes either himself to be either the source of that particular thing in this world or the essence of that thing. Bijam mam sarvabhutanam vidyaparth sanatanam buddhir buddhimatam asmi tejas tejasvinam. I am the eternal original cause of all living entities. Sanatanam bijam. Okay. Balam balavatam chaham kamakar vivartam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bhartarishabha. I am the strength of the strong, which means he is the essence. Right, I am lust, which is according to dharma, and then of course if he keeps describing in this way, practically the you know whole of Bhagavad Gita, whole of Mahabharata and whole of Bhagavatam, nothing will be sufficient, because the material world is filled with so many different. So he summarizes the whole thing between Echaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye matta eveti tanviddi natvaham teshute mayi. He says, understand, O Arjuna, that echaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye. Whatever you see in this world, which is a product of sattvagun, rajogun, or tamogun, matta eva, understand that everything comes from me. Natvaham teshu te mayi. I am not in them, but they are in me. Meaning, I am not dependent on them, but they are dependent on me. That is what it means. So whatever you see in this material world, which is a product of sattva guna, rajoguna, or tamoguna, understand either their products, qualities, time, places, everything, whatever it may be, a product of sattva guna, rajoguna, or tamoguna, understand that everything is coming from me only. Even though I am beyond three gunas, but I am the source of three gunas. I am the source of three gunas, but I am not influenced by the three gunas. Okay, so all things are dependent on me, but I am not dependent on them, which means, I am not dependent on them, but they are dependent on me, like that. I am not in them, they are in me. That is the meaning of that. So in this way, Krishna's powers in this material world, how he creates, maintains, and destroys everything in this material world. He is the source of everything that was described. Then we discussed about modes. Krishna says, Tribir gunamayer bhaver ebis sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhi janati mamebhya paramavyayam. If Krishna is everything, then why people do not understand Krishna to be the source of all creation, maintenance, and destruction? Because of the three modes. This whole world is bewildered by the three modes, because of which they don't understand Krishna, and they don't understand Krishna to be beyond the three modes. They think Krishna is also one amongst them. Avajananti mam muda manushin tanumashitam. Like that. So, in this context, we tried to understand three modes and their influence on bhakti and worship. I will not go over the whole thing, but what we saw was that the three modes can affect what is the area of jurisdiction of the three modes. Okay, the three modes can either affect the shastric faith of a person if they possess shastric faith, or the three modes can affect non-shastric faith or sentimental faith or experiential faith that one develops in this material world through plain experiences, or the three modes can affect one's conditioned nature, the swabhava. So the three modes can affect one of these three things. And we try to understand when the three modes influence the three things, what does it result in? So we try to understand that. So we saw that when the three modes affect the pure shastric faith means anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavratam anukulyena krishnanushilanam. So pure shastric faith means one worships without any material desires and only through navada bhakti. That is pure devotional faith. But when that pure devotional, pure shastric faith is influenced by sattva guna, rajoguna, tamoguna, then it leads to practice of mixed devotional service. Either karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti, or as Kapila Dev says, sattvika bhakti, rajasik bhakti, tamasik bhakti, or karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashta yoga, where there is essentially worship of Vishnu, but worship where for other ulterior motives and also the practice also may be sometimes mixed with karma, jnana and yoga. Okay, so that leads to shastric faith is indicated by worship of Vishnu, but the influence of the modes is indicated by a change in the abhideya and prayojana. Prayojana is definitely changed. Abhideya may or may not be changed. Okay. So by the influence of sattvaguna, rajoguna and tamoguna, the abhideya is... So from Krishna prem, one starts aspiring for liberation if the pure shastric faith is influenced by sattvaguna. Okay. And the goal would become some material goal or something like that, enjoyment in the swarga and things like that, if the pure shastric faith is influenced by rajoguna. And when it is influenced by tamoguna, then one worships Krishna for causing violence to others, like that. But eventually they all worship Vishnu only, because if you ask the Shastras whom to worship, the Shastras are very clear that only Vishnu is supposed to be worshipped. But some people may not ask Shastras whom to worship. They worship people, they worship personalities based on their own inclination. So this is non-shastric faith, swabhavajam shraddha, and And that swabhavajam shraddha or experiential faith can also be influenced by the three modes. So when it is influenced by mode of goodness, they worship the demigods. When it is influenced by mode of passion, they worship yakshas and rakshasas. And when it is influenced by mode of ignorance, they worship pretas and gaganas. Like that. And also we saw that how the three modes can also affect one's swabhava or conditioned nature. So when it affects the swabhava or the conditioned nature, then it leads to particular inclinations or qualities. Like for example, mode of goodness affects our swabhava, then it leads to development of qualities like cleanliness, regularity, clarity, etc. And when mode of passion affects our swabhava, then it leads to qualities like greed, lust, etc. And when mode of ignorance influences our swabhava, it leads to lethargy, sleep, etc. So basically, development of these kind of anarthas, rajastada, rajastamobhava, kama lobada yaschaye, you know, kama loba, etc. These are all influence of the three modes on our swabhava. So basically, we sadhakas are, as we saw, we possess this pure devotional faith, but we have a contaminated swabhava. Our swabhava is contaminated by the three modes. Okay. So we saw how, right? We wish to wake up early and chant the holy names. This desire to wake up early and chant the holy names is coming from our devotional faith. But in trying to wake up early and chant the holy names, we are sometimes influenced by sleep or lethargy. Okay. This is due to the influence of mode of ignorance of our swabhava. Our contaminated swabhava influences us to sleep during japa. But the desire to chant japa in the morning is coming from our pure devotional faith. Okay. Our faith is pure, but the swabhava is contaminated. Or sometimes while chanting the holy names, we may think, oh, let me check my WhatsApp message. So desire to chant is again coming from the pure devotional faith, but the distraction to check one's WhatsApp messages, that is coming due to the influence of mode of passion in our swabhava. So therefore, one should clearly understand that the influence of the three modes in our faith and in our swabhava, what it does, how it does. Ultimately, to understand Krishna completely, one should have both of one's faith and one's swabhava completely purified of the influence of the three modes. If it is still influenced by the three modes, if either faith or swabhava is influenced by the three modes, then one cannot understand Krishna. Okay. Tribir gunamayer bhaver ebis sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. He says, the whole world bewildered by the objects and persons made of the three gunas does not know me, the unchanging, who am above all those things. So, for a sadhaka, this understanding that Krishna is beyond the three modes, that understanding will not become a realization. Even though he may theoretically understand, the theoretical understanding and acceptance of Krishna being the three modes and transcendental to the three modes is coming from the pure devotional faith. But that understanding does not translate into realization because the swabhava is still contaminated. The swabhava is still contaminated. But when the swabhava also becomes purified, which is called anartha navritti, then gradually it leads to realization of Krishna's transcendental nature. Okay, like that. So we discussed this in detail the other day. I won't go into the details of this. And then Krishna continues, Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते माया में ताम तरन्ते। He says, एष मम गुणमयी माया, मई माया विच इज मेड ऑफ द थ्री गुणास, दैवी विच इज फिट फॉर द जीवास प्लेशर, दुरत्यया, इट्स वेरी हार्ड टू सरपास। बट मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते माया ताम तरन्ते। The influence of Maya is very difficult to surpass, but if someone surrenders unto me, one can easily cross over this Maya, Krishna says. Okay. So, in this context, we discussed in detail last time, what is the role of Maya? Is Maya against, is Maya a force which is acting against Krishna? Or is Maya acting on the side of Krishna? We had a very elaborate discussion on this topic. So we tried to understand that how the purpose of Maya is to help the conditioned souls. It is not to... So here when Krishna says, this Maya is the bewilderer of the jivas who are sense objects. So we tried to understand this bewildering of the jivas by Maya is not a crooked act of Maya. The bewildering of the jivas is like the anesthesia given by an anesthetist, you know. So when the jiva has, when a patient has been operated, you know, the wound will create a lot of pain. So unless anesthesia is given, the patient will experience excruciating pain. So, but that anesthesia is like a bewilderment. Why? Because unless the patient is bewildered into thinking that, okay, everything is all right, there is no pain, he will actually be unable to tolerate that pain. Similarly, we saw that how when the jiva has decided to enjoy separately from Krishna, if the jiva is told that actually you are not this body, you are the soul and you are a part and parcel of Krishna and you have absolutely no scope to enjoy separate from Krishna, then it leads to a great pain to the jiva. So that pain has to be subdued, that pain has to be ameliorated, and that ameliorating agent is Maya. So she gives a gross body and a subtle body with which the jiva can identify with and think that he can enjoy in this material world. But that is, but if that Maya is not doing that, then the jiva will suffer. Okay. So ultimately, we try to understand, I am just cutting the whole discussion into short. Actually, Maya, the Shastras and the Vaishnavas, they have a common mission to help the jivas get back the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay, so whatever is needed, they help the jiva accomplish that. So ultimately, mamevaya, when Krishna says that that daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya, mamevaya prapadyante maya metam tarandite, when Krishna says that it is very hard to surpass Maya, so Maya is not an enemy. Maya is like an examiner who sets a very tough question paper. Okay, so that those who come out of those who pass that exam are really, really qualified. So Maya's role is to ensure that a jiva with premature purification does not reach the spiritual world and suffer. That is the purpose of Maya. So when Krishna says, Mama Maya Duratyaya, it is very difficult to surpass the influence of my Maya, he's not, it should be understood in the sense of, oh, she is a very expert examiner. You cannot pass her exams very easily. But the examiner is not a sadistic person. That examiner wants to ensure that the examination results perfectly reflect the qualification of the person. Okay. So that qualified persons only pass the exam. That is the purpose of that examiner. So when Krishna says Maya Duratyaya, it should be understood that this is an appreciation of Krishna's Maya potency. So Krishna is appreciating Maya. Oh, she does a really good job. And she will ensure, and you will be able to cross, her influence only if you take shelter of me. And if you actually take shelter of me and cross over her influence, she will be the happiest person. So in this context, we were discussing last week that there is no evil force acting against any jiva to ensure that the jiva remains in the material world and suffers in the material world. There is no such evil force. Maya is not that kind of evil force. But Maya is definitely a tough examiner. And if we understand the way it works and eventually take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then we will become qualified to go back home, back to God. Like that. Okay. Yeah. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. So before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything you would like to share, ask Ed, you can please go ahead. Based on whatever we have discussed today or whatever we discussed last week, if there are any quick discussion points, comments or questions, you can please ask. Yes, Mohit Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam.
Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, in 7.4 verse, ye Prakriti has 24 elements. You mentioned that mind and buddhi, mind ankar buddhi or ankar man. That mind is a form, is present from passion, is a form of passion, mode of passion, and buddhi is a mode of, no, mind come from mode of goodness and buddhi come from mode of passion. Okay. So can you explain this, Prabhuji, why this is so?
Why it is so is not explained in Bhagavatam, but it just says that mind is a byproduct of mode of goodness and buddhi is a byproduct of mode of passion. But that does not mean that mind and intelligence are in themselves mode of goodness or passion. So mind and intelligence are whatever modes, predominant modes, the impressions have, the vasanas. The vasanas are predominantly in mode of goodness, then mind and intelligence are in mode of goodness. If the vasanas are predominantly in mode of passion, then mind and intelligence are in mode of passion. So even though they may be byproducts of false ego, the mode of goodness or passion, but they themselves are, you may have a stainless steel glass or you may have a plastic glass. So you may have a stainless steel glass or a plastic glass, but ultimately, if the stainless steel glass is filled with cold water, it will be cold. If it is filled with hot water, it will be hot. So ultimately, even though they may be products of they may come from sattva guni ahankar, rajo guni ahankar, but ultimately it is the kind of vasanas that are accumulated in one's mind or intelligence that actually discuss whether their mind is in mode of goodness or passion or ignorance, like that.
Yes, because Prabhuji, I was confused because buddhi is superior to mind, and you said that buddhi is a byproduct of mode of passion and mind is a byproduct of goodness. So there I was confused.
Okay.
And you said, and Prabhuji, another thing, Prabhuji, that you said Paramatma is pervaded, Krishna function through Paramatma and pervaded in every item. So Prabhuji, I want to ask that like mobile, like I am listening your lecture, attend your class, mobile perform its dharma. So Paramatma is Paramatma present in mobile also, Prabhuji? This.
Yeah, there are many, many elements in the mobile phone, the silicon is there, oxygen is there, they combine together in the form of silica, which are used in the chips and all those things. All those have particular nature. They are able to exhibit their nature because Krishna is empowering them to act in that particular way.
Okay, and Prabhuji, like smell is a sense object of earth. So can you explain this, Prabhuji? And sound, air is sound is sense object of air. So what does it mean, Prabhuji? Matlab, ye touch. Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Sorry, Prabhuji.
Your internet is poor, Prabhuji. Okay, that's why there is some.
Prabhuji, you matlab. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
I heard you. Yes. Yeah. So ether is the sound is the tanmatra of ether. So ether.
Ether means sky, Prabhuji. Sky. Ether. Ether means sky. Okay.
There is a lot of background noise that is coming from where you are. I don't know whether it is electronic or actually there is some background happening here.
But I can hear you properly, Prabhuji. Okay, I switch off my fan.
Yeah, you can hear us, but we can hear a lot of other background noise from you. I will mute you and then I will unmute you later. So ether, sound is the tanmatra of ether. So from ether, only sound can be transmitted. Then air has the primary tanmatra of air is touch, but it also has sound. So that is why when you blow air into the flute, sound comes. Okay. So then there is so there is sound and touch. You can explain when the fan is blowing air, you can feel the sensation of air in your skin, right? But at the same time, you can also hear the fan rotating. That is because air also has the tanmatra of sound. And fire has, primary tanmatra of fire is vision, form. You can see fire. It has the sense of touch also, because when you touch fire, you get burnt. And it also has sound. When fire is burning, you hear the sound of the fire also, right? So like that. And then water has a primary tanmatra of water is taste. Okay, you can taste water, but you cannot taste fire. You cannot taste air. You cannot taste water. But you can taste water. And water also has a sense of touch. When you touch water, you can feel water. Water also has a sense of sound. When the water flows, you can hear. And water also has a sense of form. You can see water. And earth has all the five tanmatras, even though the primary tanmatra is smell. Okay. Ether, air, water, and fire. All these four do not have smell. Only earth has smell. Okay, only earth has smell. Okay. So, but apart from that, earth also has the other four tanmatras, which is sound. You know, earth has sound also. That's why when you beat mridanga, you hear sound. Earth has touch also, you can touch and feel the earth. Earth has form also, you can see the form of mridanga. and earth has taste also. Salt, where etc. you can taste. And additionally, earth also has fragrance. So, like that, this is what it means. Is that clear, bro?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji, what is the meaning of earth, Prabhuji? What comes in earth? Earth. Like you said, na, Mirdanga. Matlab, what is the link of Mirdanga with earth? What comes in earth?
What is Mirdanga made of?
Mirdanga made of wood.
Now, wood is earth or air or water?
Wood is earth.
Yeah, that's what.
Okay. And Prabhuji, like we say that you gave the example of Paramatma and Krishna is a form of smell. When we visit some, go from some dirty place, there are a lot of bad smell come. So that smell is also form of matlab Krishna, essence of taste, essence of smell. Matlab, that is also form of Krishna, Prabhuji, smell.
Because he says whatever you see in this world which has a source of sattva, rajas, tamas, everything, Krishna says he is the source. So you know, there is tamoguni fragrance also, he is the source, but he is not the direct source. He is the source through the three gunas, which is also through the agency of Maya, like that.
Okay. And like Prabhuji, we cut vegetables and we throw the upper waste of vegetable in dustbin. So that, in that also Paramatma exists. You said na, Paramatma exists in matter also.
Paramatma exists in anything that you see, anything that you can feel, anything that you can smell, anything that you can, everything Paramatma is.
Okay. Thank you, Brody. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Anything else anyone would like to share as add before we move forward? Okay, there is a question here. What is the name of the logic that Krishna is using? That is, functions exhibited by the Amsha Vishnu is attributed to the Amshi Krishna. Is there a name of the logic in Sanskrit? I am not aware. There may be some logic. There are different kinds of nyaya. Is there a particular nyaya, name to this particular nyaya that Krishna is using? Maybe. But I am not aware of it. Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. So Krishna continues. Krishna has ended this previous section by telling, Daivi yesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya mameveya prapadyante maya metam karante. My Maya, which is made of the gunas, is very hard to surpass, but those who surrender to me alone can cross over this Maya. Okay. So then the question arises, then why do not everyone surrender to Krishna? Why don't everyone surrender to Krishna? This question arises. So if by surrendering to Krishna, if you can overcome Maya, then does everyone surrender to Krishna? Or why don't some people surrender to Krishna? This question arises. Okay. So Krishna says, Namam duskriti no mudaha. Prapadyante naradamaha mayaya pahritagna asuram bhava mashritaha. So here Krishna says that duṣkṛtinaḥ, duṣkṛtinaḥ, the falsely intelligent. So this falsely intelligent, this has to be understood. False. So intelligence many times actually refers to faith. Okay. So falsely intelligent means their faith is not based on shastras. Okay. So they don't have shastric faith. So therefore, they are addressed here as duṣkṛtinaḥ. So duṣkṛtinaḥ, and who are these falsely intelligent people? There are four kinds of them. First is called mūḍāḥ. This is the first type of duṣkṛtinaḥ. So four types of duṣkṛtinaḥ. Okay. First is mūḍāḥ. So who are these mūḍās? Consisting of animalistic humans engrossed solely in material pleasure. Okay. So they are engrossed in material pleasure. Okay. Then there are Narādhamas, the condemned humans who give up bhakti after practicing it. Narādhamas. Okay. So such people, Narādhamas, are those who give up bhakti because of becoming offenders. Okay. Because they eventually become offenders. When they become offenders, they eventually give up bhakti. Okay. So so these Narādhamas are give up, are those who give up bhakti after practicing. So what happens, they had faith in the shastras, but because of constantly offending, they lost that sukriti and they became duṣkṛtinās. Okay. They become duṣkṛtinās. So they are called as Narādhamas, the worst amongst the humans, who actually had the treasure of bhakti, but eventually gave it up because of offenses. And the third category of duṣkṛtinās are māyaya apahṛta jñāna, the deluded teas who think my body is material. So this is māyaya apahṛta jñāna. Okay. So they are deluded teas. Okay. They are deluding themselves, thinking that, oh, we are following the shastras. But even though they follow the shastras, but they think that Krishna's body is material and temporary, like that. So these are the Mayavadis, fall within this category. And the fourth category are Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha. So they do, and the demons who attack my form. So these are demons. Okay. So such people do not surrender to me. Okay. But in essence, they are falsely intelligent. They are falsely intelligent. They are duṣkṛtinās. Their faith is not based on shastras. They don't ask the shastra whom to surrender to. Whom should I take shelter of? They don't have faith in shastras. So therefore, they don't have faith in shastras at all, or they don't have proper faith in shastras. So such people, they don't surrender to Krishna. And within that, there are four categories. First categories are mūḍās, who are interested only in material pleasures and nothing else. So they are they have no time or interest to study the Shastras. Second are the Naradamas, who were once practicing bhakti, but because of committing offenses, eventually they lost that bhakti. So that is the second category. And the third are the Mayaya Apahrita Jnanas, who seemingly take shelter of Shastras, but in a very twisted way. And they misunderstand the Shastras, and they think that Krishna's form is material and all that. And the fourth category are Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha, the demons who are willing to attack Krishna's form. Okay. So they are naturally inimical. So such people, actually they lack the Sukriti. Therefore, they are called as Dushkritinaha. They have false intelligence, which is false intelligence, which is not based on Shastras. Okay. And such people, Namam Prapadyante, they do not surrender to Krishna. And because they do not surrender to Krishna, Mayam Etam Na Taranti. Therefore, they do not cross over the influence of Maya. Because only those who surrender to Krishna, Mamevaya Prapadyante Mayam Etam Taranti, only those who take shelter of Krishna can cross over the influence of Maya. But because Namam Na Prapadyante, because they do not take shelter, they cannot cross over the influence of Maya. So here he says, do not the wise then surrender to you? Because he says, to cross over Maya is very difficult, but if you surrender to me, you can cross over. Then Arjuna asks, oh, then the wise people should surrender to you? He says, yes. Those who are wise surrender to me, but those who only think themselves is not. So these four kinds of people are falsely intelligent, meaning they only think that they are intelligent. Okay. Dushta means evil or spoiled, and Kritinaha means clever. Kurvanti Kritinaha Kechit Chaturvargam Trinopamam. So Kritinaha means clever. But Dushkritinaha means Dushta Kritinaha. They are clever, but the cleverness is evil or spoiled. Those who have evil intelligence are of four types. Okay. One is the Muda, the fool who is equal to an animal. He pursues only animalistic enjoyment through his work. It is said, Nunam Daivena Vihata Yecha Achyuta Kata Sudam Hitva Shrenmant Yasad Gata Purisham Iva Vidbujaha. Struck by fate, rejecting the nectar of topics of the Lord, they hear material topics like pigs eating rubbish, like that. So they have interest only in material things, material enjoyment. First, the first category, Muda. Another verse, Mukundam Kovaina Seveta Vinna Naretaraha. There is another verse like this. There is a similar verse in Bhagavatam. Perhaps the quotation is a different version of the text. So, who would not serve Mukunda as a non-human? So, such people are animalistic people, he says. And the second category are Naradamas. The second category are Naradamas. For some time, they attain the status of a human by accepting the process of bhakti, but they then reject it by their own will, thinking that it is not useful as a practice for attaining their goals. So, which means they probably don't take proper shelter of the Vaishnavas and Guru. And by their own will, they reject bhakti. They become the lowest beings because of giving up bhakti after attaining it. Therefore, they are the lowest. Others, though having studied the scriptures, have their knowledge stolen by Maya. This is the third category. Mayaya ಹೃತ ಜ್ಞಾನ. They think that Narayana residing in Vaikuntha is obtainable by constant bhakti, but not Krishna or Rama, whom they consider humans. So there are many categories of Maya Aparita Jnana. Those people whose intelligence have been stolen by Maya. Okay. One category is whoever descends to this material world, like Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, Matsya Kurma, Varaha, etc., they are all, they have a material body and they are ordinary material beings. And only Narayana, who does not descend to this material world, he has a transcendental form. This is one kind of Maya Aparita Jnana, one kind of deluded intelligence. But when Lord Narayana descends as Rama, Narasimha, etc., then they possess human bodies like that. Okay. So this is Maya Aparita Jnana. It is said, Avajananti Mamuda Manushim Tanum Ashritam. These fools think that I have a human body. This means that though they surrender to me in some forms, they actually do not surrender unto me. Another category are Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha. Others take shelter of the mood of the asuras. The nature of the mood of the asuras is that what is that verse from 16 chapter? What is that verse where Krishna says that Mama Praptyeva Kaunteya Tato Yanti Adavam Gatim. What is that verse? Mama Praptyeva Kaunteya Tato Yanti Adavam Gatim. What is the beginning of that verse? I am not able to recollect. They hate Krishna. Okay. Asuras like Jarasandha, seeing my form, they attack it with arrows. So people are asuras. They also lack that Sukriti. They even try to destroy my form in Vaikuntha by their bad arguments based on faulty logic such as insisting on visible proof. Have you seen Vaikuntha? Have you seen Narayana? If you have not seen, then how do you think, how are you able to believe that he is existing? Which means, Pratyakshavadis. These Pratyakshavadis also fall within the category of demons. Either they want to attack Krishna through what is the one before that? Asuri Myoni Mapanna Muda Janmani Janmani. What is the previous verse to this? You can type that also. So it is mentioned that either they attack through arrows or they attack through logic, false logic. Have you ever seen? You have not seen, na? Then how are you believing? Like that. Tanaham dushatak kruran. Yeah. Samsareshu naradaman. Shipami ajasram ashuban asuri shveva yonishu. So, aham dushataha. They hate Krishna. They are the asurim bhavam ashrita. Like that. So such people do not surrender at all. Such people do not surrender to Krishna. Okay. Then who surrenders to Krishna? So he says, who surrenders to Krishna? Who surrenders to Chaturvida Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritino Arjuna Artho Jigyasur Artharti Jnani Cha Bharata Rishabha. Chaturvida Sukritino Jana. Four types of religious persons. Those who possess Sukriti, Mam Bhajante, they worship or they surrender unto me. So four types of Sukritinas are religious persons. They surrender to Krishna or Arjuna. And these Sukritinas are of four types. Okay. Four types. Okay. First are Arthaha, one who wants relief from suffering. Actually, suffering is the cause of seeking shelter, and Sukriti is the cause of seeking shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, if that Sukriti is not there, then one will seek shelter, destroying their suffering. One will take shelter of different things, drugs, you know, other kinds of things like that. Then the second is Artharthi. Okay. Those who want some wealth. Okay. This also, if one has Sukriti, then they will approach. But if one does not have that Sukriti, then they will try to gain that wealth through other means. Maybe they may approach demigods, like that. Then the third is Jigyasu. Jigyasu is an inquirer. Okay. Where he is not happy just with his temporary desires, material desires are being fulfilled, or he is not just happy with relief from material sufferings. So he is not happy with these kind of things. He wants some long-term solutions. So therefore, he is inquiring into what is the long-term solution for these problems. How can I get long-term freedom from suffering, or long-term happiness, like that. And then the fourth is a Jnani. Who is this Jnani? We will see. Okay. So then the question is, then who worships you? So four types of people worship me. Those who follow the rules of Varnashrama, that is the Sukritinaha, they worship me. Okay. Among them, some desire relief from affliction, from calamities like sickness. So for that purpose, they worship Krishna. Okay. So the point is, so do follow the rules of Varnashrama, worship me. Which means the corollary to this is that those who do not worship Krishna are not actual followers of Varnashrama. This is the point. So therefore, there is nothing called as demigod worshipping Brahmana. Or, even though for our, speaking purpose, we may speak in that way, but according to the strict Shastras, if one does not worship Krishna, if he is just a mere demigod worshipper, or he does not worship anyone but very strictly follows the rules and regulations of Varnashrama, he cannot be, in the strictest sense, he cannot be called a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, ideally. Okay. But what is practice is different, but ideally. Okay. Amongst them, some desire relief from affliction, from calamities like sickness. So this is Artha. Some desire knowledge of Atma, or desire knowledge of scriptures with grammar. This is Jigyasu. Some desire enjoyment in this life, next, with land, elephants, horses, women, gold and other such things. So this is Artharthi. Okay. These persons worship me. These three are Sakama Grihastas. Okay. These three are Sakama Grihastas. Artho, Jigyasur, Artharthi are Sakama Grihastas. Okay. And the fourth type, the jnani, is a sannyasi. He is nishkama. With pure heart, who worships me with devotion, he is nishkama without any material desire. He has no material desire. There is a footnote here by Srila Bhanu Swami Maharaj. He says, in this definition, the jnani does not have a desire for liberation. The devotee desiring liberation is mentioned at the end of the chapter as a sakama bhakta. This is jara marana mokshaya mama shitta yatantiye. So that verse talks about a person who takes shelter of Krishna for the purpose of for the purpose of liberation. Okay, like that. So these four types of devotees qualified for pradhani bhuta bhakti, in which bhakti is the principal component, have been enumerated. So these four kinds of people are pradhani bhuta bhaktas, predominant bhaktas, where their practice has a predominance of bhakti, but it is also mixed with karma, yoga, etc. Okay, like that. So the first three types of persons have karma mishra bhakti. So artha, arthaarthi, and jigyasu. So these are karma mishra bhaktas. The one who is mentioned as jnani is actually a jnana mishra bhakta, where his practice is predominantly devotion, but there are some tinges of jnana in that practice. Later in the book means in the 8th chapter, yoga mishra bhakti will also be described in verse like sarvadvarani sanyamya. This is the 8.12. In the 8th chapter, we'll talk about yoga mishra bhakti, where there is predominance of bhakti, but there is some of yoga also. But kevala bhakti, or unmixed with karma or jnana, was also described in the beginning of this chapter with the words mayasakta manaparta. So kevala bhakti is also mentioned in the beginning. Mayasakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. Mayasakta mana indicates anya bilashita shunya. And madashraya indicates jnana karmadi anavritam. So that is pure devotee. Kevala bhakti. Kevala bhakti will also be described in the 8th chapter with ananya chetaha satatam, and in the 9th chapter with mahatmanastu mam partha, and with ananyas chantomam. So in between, here and there, pure devotional service will also be described by Krishna. But in many places, he describes pradhani bhuta bhakti or predominant bhakti. The Lord describes these two types of bhakti, that is pradhani bhuta and kevala bhakti, in the middle 6 chapters of the Gita. From chapter number 7 to number 12, he talks about predominant bhakti and pure bhakti. A third type of bhakti, that is gunibhuta bhakti, processes in which bhakti is a secondary element, is seen in the karmis, jnanis, and yogis who predominantly desire results for their actions, that is bhukti or mukti. So this was described in the first 6 chapters. Because of the lack of predominance of bhakti, instead of predominance of karma, jnana, or yoga, this gunibhuta bhakti is not classed as bhakti. Call it as karma yoga, jnana yoga, or ashtanga yoga. Okay. Even though it has some element of bhakti, but because there is no dominance of that element of bhakti, therefore it is not called as bhakti, or it is not classified as bhakti. As things should be classed by predominance of quality, these processes are classed karma, jnana, and yoga, and the practitioners are not classed as bhaktas, but as karmis, jnanis, or yogis. Just like if you take a glass of water and add a small teaspoon of salt and mix it, you know, you call it salty water. If you take a cup of salt and sprinkle some water on top of it, okay, then you call it soggy salt, okay, or wet salt. Even though both are a combination of salt and water, you call one as salty water and another thing you call as wet salt. So why? Because that salty water, there is a predominance of water, and in the wet salt, there is a predominance of salt. Okay. So therefore, you call it like that. Similarly, when there is a predominance of the element of bhakti, then you call it as bhakti. Karma Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But when there is a predominance of karma, jnana or yoga, then you call it karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, like that. You don't call it as bhakti, even though it has the element of bhakti, but only in a smaller quantity, like that. So, he says, the result of sakama karma is svarga. The result of nishkama karma is jnana yoga. And the result of jnana and ashtanga yoga is nirvana moksha or impersonal liberation. So, this is results of Guni Bhuta Bhakti. Okay. So, the result of Sakama Karma is Swarga. The result of Nishkama Karma is one becomes purified and it becomes qualified to practice Jnana or Jnana Yoga. And the result of Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga is impersonal liberation, Sahijya Mukti. Okay. And the results of the two types of Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti are described as follows. Amongst the type of Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, the first three are Karma Mishra Bhakti or Sakama Bhakti. Okay. The Artha, Artharthi, Jigyasu. So these are Sakama, they practice Sakama Bhakti. Okay, they want some results. The result of this bhakti is attainment of their respective desires, that is deliverance from suffering, attainment of scriptural knowledge with materialistic method, and gain of material benefits. So this is for Artho, Jigyasu and Artharthi. So they get their respective desires fulfilled, and after that fulfillment of the desire, because the superior nature of their object of worship, which is the Lord, those devotees attain liberation in the form of Salokya, attaining the same planet with predominance of happiness and power. Sukha Aishwaryottara Mukti. So this is called as Sukha Aishwarya Uttara Mukti. This is also called as Salokya Mukti. They attain the planet of the Lord when they follow this when they follow this Sakama Bhakti. So then they get this they attain Salokya. Okay. This is the result of Karma Mishra Bhakti. Okay, and there is no fall down as in the case of exhausting enjoyment in Swarga as a result of karma. Shine punya martelokam vishanti, we say. You know, those who go to Swarga, after their punya gets over, piety gets over, they fall down. Okay, but this is not the case of those who attain Salokya by practice of predominant bhakti, Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. Karma Mishra Bhakti, by Karma Mishra Bhakti, when they attain Vaikuntha, they don't fall down, okay, from there. Even though they may not be experiencing prema, but they don't fall down. So it will be said that those who worship me, come to me. Those who worship me, come to me. Okay, then the result of Jnana Mishra Bhakti, which is superior to the other three types, is Shantarati or Bhava, as in the case of Sanaka and others, the four Kumaras. So the Jnani of the four types, Artho, Jigyasu, Artharthi and Jnani. So the Jnani is the Jnana Mishra Bhakta. So the Jnana Mishra Bhakta, the result of Jnana Mishra Bhakti is Vaikuntha, and in Vaikuntha one attains what is called as Shanta Rati. So Rati is the preliminary stage of Rasa or Prema. So they don't attain Prema, but they attain something which is a very rudimentary form of Prema, which does not blossom further. It remains a bud only. But sometimes, because of exceptional mercy of the Lord and His devotee, the result of Jnana Mishra Bhakti is the supreme position of Prema, as in the case of Shukadeva Goswami. So even though there may be some Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, if they have some exceptional mercy of either directly the Supreme Lord or a devotee, then they may attain Prema also. Okay. If Sakama Bhakti, which is the first three types, becomes Nishkama, without desires, the result is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And the result of Jnana Mishra Bhakti is as stated above, which is Shantarati. Okay. Sometimes, those who have Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Karma Mishra Bhakti attain Prema in Dasya or higher rasas on their own, with no apparent association of devotees in life, because of the influence of association with devotees in previous lives. Okay. Sometimes those who do not have, those who are practicing Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Karma Mishra Bhakti, even though in this lifetime they may not have any association of devotees, but sometimes due to past association of devotees, they may suddenly attain Prema also. However, that Prema is predominated by a mood of reverence. Okay. So they will not go to Goloka Vrindavan. They will go to Vaikuntha at the most. The result of pure bhakti unmixed with jnana and karma or yoga is called Ananyati, Akinchana Bhakti or Uttama Bhakti, which has many types, and is that one becomes an associate of the Lord with Dasya, Sakya and Dadar Rasas. So this is pure bhakti. Okay. So I had prepared a chart for it. I will see if I can search for that chart. So this is explained elaborately in the commentaries on the Bhagavatam. As it is a matter related to the topic at hand, the distinctions in perfected bhakti have been briefly discussed. So there is a footnote here. Though the topic is sadhana, the result of sadhya, the results, sadhya, that is prema, are also described here to illustrate the differences in sadhana. So the result is also indicated, even though we are currently discussing about sadhana. Sadhana is, you know, gunibhuta bhakti, pradhani bhuta bhakti, and within pradhani bhuta bhakti, there is karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti, and then there is shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service. Even though all of this is sadhana, but ultimately the sadhya, the goal of each of these, what they attain is also described in order to clearly explain sadhana like that. So, anyways, give me just 1 minute. Let me check if I can. Anyways, I will show it to you next time, because it's already 9:25 and we need to spend some time for some Q&A. So at this point of time, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, and you can please go ahead. Any quick questions, comments, discussion points? Yes, Sachikuran Prabhu. Yes, bro.
So, regarding Sanat Kumaras, when they enter into Vaikuntha, that time the Jnana Mishra Bhakti is turned into Prema, na? Because of that Tulsi's smell.
Yeah, it reaches till Bhava at least. But because of, even though they were qualified for Prema, but because of their offense towards the Jaya and Vijaya, it remains as Shanta Rati only. That is how our acharyas explain. But even at the stage of Bhava, you experience the sattvika vikaras, you know, as tears flowing from the eyes, hair standing on end, those symptoms are experienced even at the stage of bhava. So that's how in Bhagavatam they are seen to experience such.
Also, Prajit, in case of those who are Jnana Mishra or Karma Mishra Bhaktas, in terms of Pradhani Bhut Bhaktas, they consider that due to the bhakti, there is no exclusive shelter of bhakti, and they mix up with the karma and jnana. So that's why they are being labeled as Jnana Mishra and Karma Mishra, Prajit.
Yeah.
So exclusive shelter of bhakti means whatever the 9 process of devotional service that we follow, taking shelter of any one of the process of that 9 process is called the Shuddha Bhakti, right?
Yes.
And mixture means if you add any other process apart from these processes, like and showing the dependency on that process is a mixture of that.
Yes.
Okay, buddy. Thank you, buddy.
Correct. Anything else anyone would like to share, ask, add before we wind up for the day? Okay. If there is none, then we will pause here and continue this discussion next Friday. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Path Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.